good evening and welcome to 7x7, coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this June 8th, 2017. And guess what? That's right. We're back. We've been gone for a week or so, but guess what? That's right. We are back. Glad to be back to the Radio Ranch. Oh, it's been a great time going to Branson. It always is, getting geared up and loading up and going and getting it all coordinated and set up. So thought we'd talk a little bit about that tonight and do a little review of that. But we are back. We thank you for joining us. Here it is, Thursday, June 8th, 2017. And it's been a beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch. I think it hit 80 degrees. That's the high of the year out here. Now, certainly it was warmer than that in Branson, and it's been warmer than that almost everywhere else, but we finally hit it. That'll get the grass growing for sure. Well, thanks for joining us, and let's start off before we get any further with a word of prayer. And ask our Heavenly Father for His blessings on this broadcast tonight. Well, Heavenly Father, we do that very thing. In the name above all names, the name that You gave the angel to give to Mary, to say His name shall be called Jesus. And that is the name we come in, O Lord, that name of Jesus Christ, Your Son, the Son of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And thank You, Lord. And in Jesus' name we come to You. And Lord, we thank You for this day of life You've given us. I thank You for this opportunity to speak to the remnant tonight and to praise You. And Lord, to glorify You, to read Your word. And Father, as Your word says, to be sanctified by Your word, to be sanctified by the truth. And that truth is Your word. And we thank You for that. Oh Lord, thank You most of all for Your Son, Jesus Christ, who came, born of a virgin, died on the cross to take our sins and our sicknesses as no Old Testament blood sacrifice could, but to cleanse us once and for all, to offer that free gift of salvation. Oh, Father, what a price that was paid. And, oh, Lord Jesus, thank You for the joy set before You for going to the cross. We thank You for that, Lord, and we praise You for it. Lord, what an example for us. Help us and strengthen us to live by that example, to put others first, to remember to pray for others, and Lord, to look out for the needs of others. We know this fulfills Your royal law, to love others and to treat others as ourselves and as we want to be treated. And we thank You for that, Lord. We ask for more of Your Holy Spirit. Lord, I, as we learned from our pastor, I say more. Father, I want more. I ask for more of that Holy Spirit. And I ask You, Holy Spirit, to be here with me in the broadcast booth this evening to guide and direct my thoughts, to give me the thoughts to think, the words to say, to edify Your people, to encourage them to love and good deeds, but most of all, Lord, to glorify You. We praise You and we thank You for this and for all things. Lord, we thank You for our health. We thank You for the wealth that You give us here in this land, in this country that You give us. Lord, it may not be much by the world's standards, but Lord, we know that we are as rich as kings when it comes to Your kingdom and Your truth. And we thank You for that. Lord, we thank You for the help that You give us and our families. Father, those that are in need of better health, are in need of healing, we lift them up to You, Lord. I think of Dr. Dan there in Colorado, Lord, that is recovering. And I thank You for that. And I pray Your continued healing to be upon him. And I speak life and health. And Doc, we speak Jesus. We speak those words into you and into your life and into your being. Those words of healing. Lord, Pat's wife down in New Mexico, Miss Linda's in need of healing. Dizzy and not sure what it is. We lift her up in prayer and we speak health and healing and the miraculous words. And that name that's above all names, Jesus, we speak into you, Linda, and we say be healed. And Lord, there are so many others. Help us to remember them and to have compassion on them. To go as Aaron did, Lord, and to intercede and to cry out to You on their behalf. And we do that, Lord. Encourage us as the day goes on to do that more and more. again to your glory. And Lord, we know that that is moving towards that perfect obedience that is your plan for us and your intentions and your desire for us. So help us to please you, O Lord, in all that we do. Thank you, Lord, for the remnant. Lord, for those that tune in and for those that support us, we ask your blessings 100-fold back upon them. And we pray all this to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, it was a beautiful day here at the Radio Ranch. Still springtime. It's getting summer-like. But we are still, a week or 12 days, 10 days or so away from summer. That kicks in awful quick. Of course, we'll have a 91st day here. Don't have my calendar in front of me, but 17th and 18th coming up, or actually 18th and 19th, I guess is what it is coming up. And so we encourage you to, it'll be a Sabbath, a day after a Sabbath. It'll be Sunday afternoon and Monday morning coming up in about 10 days or so. So we encourage you to do that. And that's when we move from spring to summer. And it is an extra Sabbath day, so we encourage you to keep that and observe that if you can. Hope you're having good weather as well. I also hope that you are reading your Bible. Faith comes from hearing and hearing from the Word of God. And so read, even if you're reading to yourself, we encourage you at times, read out loud, especially if you have a red letter edition. Read those letters of Christ out loud. There is power there is encouragement, there is comfort, knowing that, well, the Bible says, I don't have time to turn there, but it reminds us that the power of the cross, it is foolishness to the natural world, and so is the power of the Word, the strength and the comfort that the Word of God brings. It is foolishness to the world. But to those of us who believe, to those of us who do more than believe, but are obedient in our belief and in our life as a result of our belief, it is the power of God. It is the power of forgiveness. It is the power of salvation. And so we encourage you, read your Bible, take time. We watch, as a people, we watch so much TV is watched. So much internet, so much phone texting, and take time to read your Bible. This morning we're in the, this morning I read Leviticus 7-9. It's in our Bible reading plan, and along with we just started Leviticus this week, in the law, finishing up in Exodus, and when you read through this, you may think at times, well, this is Old Testament. This was done away with Christ, and the guilt offering, the law of the guilt offering, that and the guilt offering that was in yesterday's Bible reading, and then today, the priest part, of course, and so we've read of the sin offering, and we've read of the guilt offering. And you may think, well, why? This is Old Testament, it's been done away with. There is nowhere in the Bible that says that it was done away with. Of course, it was fulfilled in Christ. And Christ is our ultimate, the ultimate sacrifice and our sin and guilt offering today. When Christ went to the cross, that paid that price for each and every one of us. But it is so important to go back and have that foundation laid, to read of where that comes from. Why did Christ have to come to the cross, you might ask? Well, when you go back and you read through Leviticus, you see that this is the law of the guilt offering. This is the law of the sin offering. And it explains, it's God's way. It's not my way, and it may not be your way. But it is God's way. It is the way God intended it. Is the way he laid it out for them then. Now, of course, it's perfected in Christ. But when we go back and read through this, we will get nuggets. We will get a greater understanding of why Jesus Christ had to come and die on the cross. We've read through about the blood offering. And it gets into the fat, how it's burned. But the blood offering had to be made. And we know that Christ offered his blood and his body to be that final, once and for all, blood sacrifice. And it was done. If you have your Bibles, I encourage you to turn over to Hebrews. I hope you're reading at least a Bible reading plan. Certainly read more if you can. Old Testament and New Testament together is a great thing to do. But turn over to Hebrews, because Hebrews 9, I wanted to read verse 22. Hebrews 9, verse 22. And so the whole chapter of Hebrews 9 is talking about the old covenant and the new covenant and the greater and more perfect tabernacle that Christ is, and how he has obtained eternal redemption, and how we also can do that. But how he paid the price once and for all. What the Old Testament, what the Old Covenant, as perfect as it was, what it could not do for us, as imperfect as we are, Christ did. And so, read all of Hebrews 9. I encourage you to do that. But I want to focus in on one verse here, Hebrews 9:22. And to me, it ties right in with what we've been reading in Leviticus about the law of the sin offering and the law of the guilt offering and that blood sacrifice that had to be made to make atonement for sin and for guilt. Hebrews 9:22. And according to the law, one may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. One more time. Hebrews 9:22. And according to the law, one may almost say, all things are cleansed with blood, and without shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. Well, thank God above that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ did shed his blood to forgive us for our sins, so that we may be forgiven. So that we may walk in newness of life, so that we may walk forgiven. And remember too, just as we are forgiven, we are to forgive. Now Jesus went to that cross and he paid the price that no bull, that no turtle dove, that no pair of oxen could. And What a glory that is, and certainly we are thankful. We are thankful for that. But just as he forgave us, remember that we also, as Christ is our example, we also are to forgive. This was not in my notes, and I just wanted to turn over to Matthew. It came to mind, and to remind you of that, because Hebrews 9, we read, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. But there has been the shedding of blood. Christ shed his blood on the cross and with the terrible beating that he took so that we could have forgiveness. And I know this is Christianity 101, basics. It's what's on my mind. One more verse and we'll move on from here. But it is Matthew 6:14. And it is, for if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So forgiveness is a major part. We have been forgiven by Christ's death on the cross, his sacrifice. In Matthew 6, it says, if you forgive others, your heavenly Father will forgive you. So we see here that we also, just as we have been forgiven, see, we have to not only believe, but we have to do as well. We have to forgive others. Verse 15, but if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. You know, that's enough for me right there. If I do not forgive others, my Heavenly Father will not forgive me. I'm going to do my best to forgive others. And I hope you are as well. So, today's Bible reading plan, Leviticus 7 through 9, you can cross that over, a good passage, a good scripture to go along with that is Hebrews 9:22, and then of course Matthew 6:14 and 15, all about forgiveness. So it does, and that reading the Bible, it will lay that foundation, it will strengthen that foundation. It'll be like bringing a load of stone in and pouring it against the south wall and shoring up that solid rock foundation of you and your Christianity and your walk and in your life. Well, thought I'd talk a little bit about Branson. And what a shoring up of the foundation that was done there. Branson has always been, over the last, I've been going 16 years now. And what, 15 years. And what a recharge that is. We advertise it as a family reunion, and it truly is a family reunion of Christ. I remember one time years ago, we were at a different facility, and we had a security guard we provided, just never had any problems, but just to make sure and to be a little proactive, we had a security guard there, and we were happy to do that. But I remember the security guard sitting in on some music and some of the dancing and the families and everything that we had there on a Saturday night. And he's tapping his toes and nodding his head. And when I talked to him later, he kind of snapped his fingers and he said, "Now I remember, this is like a family reunion. This is a family reunion of the family of Christ." He could see it in the people. He heard it in the preaching. Now, this man was not on our ministry, but he was a Christian. He was a true follower of Jesus Christ. And he knew the truth, and he knew the love, and he knew the family of Christ, the body of Christ, when he saw it. Regardless of what the world says, regardless of what the media or the Southern Poverty Law Center or the ADL or any of the other Christ haters say out there, he recognized the body of Christ here. And it has always been that way. And it was that way this year. It was a true family reunion. It was good to see brethren and sisters that we haven't seen in a year. Sometimes since, many since last year at Branson. And some we get to stay in contact with, and some of the families and the men and the women get to stay in contact, be it writing or texting or visiting throughout the year. Some others, it just is not possible. It hasn't been possible in the past. But just like your local family reunion of your blood family, when you get together, you sit down and take time to catch up and to find out how people are doing. We certainly did that at Branson. It was a great time of fellowship. And many people arrived early. We started Friday afternoon, but many people arrived early on Friday for that very reason, for fellowship. To be able to talk, to see maybe what new books we brought, and we had some new books this year, to see perhaps some new people that had attended, and to arrive early to see some old friends, and to visit, and to talk, and to get brought up. And of course, the food that we provided the food there, a couple of the local ladies, we put all that together and brought some of the Radio Ranch beef there and provided the food there. That way we knew it was clean food, we knew it was safe food, and we knew that the food was provided with love. And that is something that is missing so much in the food that is prepared today, commercially or at restaurants, and unfortunately even at homes. But the food was prepared with love, and everyone there enjoyed it. Everyone commented on how good the food was. There was not a lot of food left over, I can tell you that. We try to work that out with the wives that we work with to of course be good stewards and not have too much food, but definitely to have plenty. And several were many were back for seconds and thirds, and so the food and the fellowship was great. It was what an encouragement, what a great opportunity to be around like-minded Christians that aren't afraid to call a spade, that aren't afraid to stand and proclaim and rejoice in the Word of God and to glorify in it. And what a great opportunity to spend a weekend and just talking about the fellowship part, knowing that the people around you understand certainly what sin is, certainly what grace is, and that truly know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's been commented before that Branson is a recharging of our batteries. And if you think about that concept, it truly is. The concept of a battery, certainly a battery charging and running our life throughout the year, throughout the day, and throughout the year, but also that so that when you have a battery, if you think of a battery in a flashlight or a battery in your car, certainly in your car it's to start the car, but it's to run the lights. And I know we have alternators, but the battery runs the lights, and a battery in your flashlight or on your phone that will let you turn the light on. And we are to shine our light into this dark world and let the light of Christ dwell richly within us. And sometimes those batteries get a little run down. Sometimes that light starts to get a little dim. It might still be shining, but it might be a little dim, kind of like your daytime running lights. They're just running a little dim. And sometimes that happens. Well, our pastor, in his infinite witness, in his infinite wisdom, recognized this, and it witnessed to him to have, especially the Branson meeting, and that's the meeting of the year that so many attend, and let us know that they get their batteries recharged there. And so when that happens, well, then guess what? The light can shine bright, and the light continues to shine bright in the darkness of the world, no matter where it may be. And so, great fellowship, great food, and that praise and worship that we do there, praising and worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Of course, we gather in His name, and His name is Jesus. It is not anything else. It is Jesus, and it does matter. Because that is the name that there is salvation in. And there is salvation in no other name. Can't it be as simple as that? That's what our word tells us. There is salvation in no other name. There's not salvation in the name of Joe or of Fred. Or there's not salvation in the name of George. There's not salvation in the name of Richard or of Peter or John or Jason or Leroy or Jenny. There is no salvation in those names. There is salvation in the name of Jesus. And that is part of that rock-solid foundation. It's part of what the Word tells us. And when we stand on the Word and we don't compromise, certainly we will do our best to teach and instruct with patience and long-suffering. But when we don't compromise on the simple truths that are the Word of God, well, there is a power there. There is a, and not that we do it for the power, but there's a confidence. That's probably a better word. There's a confidence there that we can rely on. I think it is that confidence that David had as he was running toward that heathen giant Goliath that had cursed his God and that he knew was fixing to die. That God would deliver that giant into his hands just as he had delivered the wolf and the bear and the lion as David was shepherding the flock. It was a confidence. It wasn't a cockiness. It wasn't a power to lord over others. But it was a sure confidence in the Word of God. In experience. And not just, see, it's not just belief, but it was experience as well. That David had, that caused that holy boldness to be upon David. And I sensed that as well at Branson this year. Not a cockiness, not a I've got it figured out more than you, not a well I use this word or name or interpretation or translation so I'm better than you. None of that was there. But what was there was a humility, an understanding of a that we are to humble ourselves before God. And we saw that there. This year's theme, of course, was sanctification. And many of the men in our men's meeting that we had, the men that were invited to attend on Thursday and Friday morning, many of them brought short messages on sanctification and what it meant to them and their understanding of it. And throughout it all, there was a humility, a humbleness. And of course, that sanctification means when you look at, have a page full of notes. I don't know if I'll get into all them tonight or not, but it means to be set apart. It means to be different, not just for the sake of being different. Now, we see many today in our society that are different. We see many today that certainly should be set apart, maybe on a desert island off by themselves. That is not what sanctification means. Sanctification means to be set apart in a holy way. Here, I'll read a couple of definitions that I've got out of, and this was some of the stuff that we shared. Give you a little sneak peek at some of the scripture verses and some of the notes, and I've got some here also to share, but of what sanctification is. And it certainly is God's will for us. We read that in 1 Thessalonians 4:3. But it means to be holy, okay? It means to be, of course, holy, being set free from sin, and we are to be set free from sin, but it means being set apart, having a specific purpose, and not just being different. It means being set apart for a special use or purpose, being made holy or sacred. And again, that's one of the reasons for we go back and read that Old Testament. That's one of the benefits we get from that, is we see that Aaron and his sons and the Levites they were sanctified, they were set apart, they were made holy because they had a special purpose. And the urns and the vessels and the things that were set apart for temple service, they were sanctified, they were made holy, they were purified because they had a special purpose. Okay? And they weren't just the ordinary. And when we read back through the Old Testament, we see that in the physical, that there were certain things that were set apart, and there were, it wasn't just set, you didn't just go down to Walmart and buy two forks, and one was for everyday use, and one was for use in the tabernacle. It wasn't just a choice, and that was it. Just as belief in the Lord Jesus Christ is not the end-all of Christianity, we must always remember that. There are many of our cousins, many of our remnant that are out there that have been blindsided into that belief, that all they have to do is believe. Now, the Word tells us, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. But that's not all the Word says. So, we are to believe. When we read through this Old Testament, we see the process that had to be gone through for things to be sanctified, for things to be set apart for holy use, whether they were the vessels in the temple or the priests that were ministering in the temple to the people. And of course, in the New Testament, we can read in John 17. That's a great chapter to go to read about, and to if you want to do somewhat of a Bible study on sanctification. And we had Bible studies this past weekend in Branson on this very thing, but on what it meant, what that holiness means, what it means to make holy. You don't just decide and snap your fingers and, well, now it's holy, or now you are holy. You know, we're told to be holy because He is holy. Leviticus 11:44 speaks of holy things. Matthew 5:48, 1 Peter 1:15 and 16 tells us that we are to be holy as He is holy. We are to be sanctified as He is sanctified. And when we look at it, we really have to make sure we look at it and see it. When it comes to sanctification, that it's from God's perspective, and it's not just from ours. It's not just what we think is sufficient. The Bible says in a time when the people had turned away from God, that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And by golly grimaces, if that ain't the way it is today in the world, in the what's supposed to be Christian world. But every man does that which is right in his own eyes. Well, I think it ought to be this way. Well, I think it ought to be that way. I think if I do this, if I'm in church every Sunday and I'm putting some money in the plate and I'm praying there, well, I'm holy. I'm sanctified. I'm set apart. And if you may think that, but we really have to do it, and it has to be set apart and holy from God's perspective. Again, a great plug for reading your Bible when we go back and read about the law. How can you understand Christ and why he came and who he came for if you don't understand that Old Testament? If you haven't read about the law and about the sin offering and the guilt offering and those types of things. And that's just the beginning. It truly is. It's not a full understanding of it. But so sanctification, we talked about that, how that was, how it is to be set apart, how in John 17 Christ told us that. We have it today for our understanding, but he is talking to God. In John 17, Jesus is talking to God, the Heavenly Father, and he says, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth." So Christ is saying, "Sanctify them, O God, by the truth, and your word is truth." So Christ is pleading with the Father to set us apart, to make us holy by his word. And so when we read his word, when we apply his word, when we change our life because of what we read about in his word, certainly when we read about sin and that all have sinned and fallen short, and that we are in need of repentance and salvation, then we are doers of the word. We do what that word tells us. We are moving in the area of being sanctified. We are set apart. We are being further set apart. We are holy as he is holy. We are being made more holy. And I certainly need to be moving in that direction, as all of us do. In Acts 13, verse 26, we read, "Brethren, sons of Abraham's family, and those among you who fear God, to us the word of this salvation is sent out." Praise the Lord. And it's our duty, it's our job to live according to this word, to be sanctified, to be set apart, certainly to be doers of the word, so that we may show others, so that we may tell others the good news and share this good news with others. And that good news, of course, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that there is no other name. He is the, as it talks about in Acts 4, the stone, the cornerstone. See, it's that foundation. Now, the builders rejected him. You know, when they're building, my understanding, I haven't built a building from the ground up where you would use a cornerstone, but the cornerstone had to be right. That is where the foundation was laid. And the builder could reject it if it didn't meet their standards. And that is what happened. That is why we read in Acts 4, 10 through 12, that the builders rejected Jesus Christ, the very cornerstone. But he is our cornerstone. He is our foundation. And along those lines, we base our, that good news is based on that he is the cornerstone. And that then we have to do more than believe. We have to confess. Certainly we have to have hope. we know we have grace through faith. And I'm kind of looking here. We have a little card that helps out. It's one of the Bible bookmarkers that we put out years ago. We still have them, and we'd be glad to send you one if you'd like it. But it's on salvation. One of them is. And it goes through and points out the biblical points of salvation. It is not just belief. It is not just belief, but it highlights that there are other things than just belief for salvation. And it's one of the Bible bookmarkers we have. If you need a Bible bookmarker, if you'd like it as for the notes that are on it and the kind of directions that it gives to help you out in sharing. Maybe you have friends that are believers only and think, no, Christ did it all. Believe and be saved, and I'm good with that. Well, they have a little growing to do. They have further to go in their Christian walk, as we all do. If you'd like one of these, if you contact us, we'll be glad to send them to you. It's the Salvation Bible Bookmarker, and it is a great little tool, a great help, a great encouragement, and a good pointer to get you pointed in the right direction along those lines of the things that are needed for salvation. Just like in the Old Testament, things were not sanctified just because they existed. They had to be cleansed, they had to be purified, as the people did, as the priest did. And today, as we all do, we all have to be set aside. If we want to be vessels of honor versus vessels of dishonor, if we want to be to bear that good fruit instead of bearing that bad fruit, well, we're told to make the tree good. To make the tree good. Anyway, if you want that salvation bookmark, you can write to us or give us a call. Our address is Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Our email address is preacher@sfaw.org. That's preacher@sfaw, Scriptures for America Worldwide.org. And you can contact us and say, hey, I'd like one of those salvation bookmarkers. And that's just one of the bookmarkers that we have. We have several. I have a couple out here. I have one I try to keep. One is on baptism. And it just has half a dozen or so scriptures that, other than Acts 2:38. How about that? It has Acts 2:38 on it. But there's several others that just remind us, because baptism is throughout the scriptures, and it is needed. It is, as Galatians 3:27 says, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. And so if we have been baptized with Christ, we have clothed ourselves with Christ. What if we haven't been baptized with Christ? And we haven't been clothed with him. And so in Romans 6:3-5 talks about being buried with him through baptism into death, so that just as he was raised, we will be raised. And the angels in heaven were rejoicing this past weekend. We started out the weekend with a baptism. And it was one of our members of the congregation, a family member, not a member of the what you might say the ministry, not a member of our congregation, not on our mailing list, but a family member of one who was. And that started out the baptisms. And then we had a baptism of a young lady that is on the ministry, that was brought up in this ministry, raised up in a fine, beautiful Christian young lady that when we had talked before about baptism. We try to have a baptism class, and we had a couple here this past weekend, and just to many people understand baptism, but there are always new people coming on. And so we hold a short baptism class kind of off to the side for people that are interested and answer questions and talk and teach about baptism. And she had attended last year. And of course, being raised up in a Christian in a true Christian family, she understood baptism. And when we spoke the night before she got baptized in the morning, when we spoke that evening, her and her father and myself, her testimony was she didn't want to disappoint God. And oh, what an answered prayer that is. Oh, that we would all live our lives daily not wanting to disappoint God. And so she was baptized. And then a couple more. And then a couple more. And so we had 7 baptisms this past weekend, praise the Lord, in Branson. 7 baptisms. And again, the angels in heaven rejoice. We have a Bible bookmarker on baptism. That's one of the things we have always tried to do here that Pastor put in our minds and put in place, was to do our best to equip you to further the ministry, to further not just this ministry, your ministry, to further the gospel of the kingdom of Jesus Christ and to further his kingdom. And that's what these bookmarkers are. They're tools for you. So if you'd like them, we have several. We have one with the pistol and rifle prayer. We have, I don't have them all back here with me, but it's on salvation, on baptism, on the Lord's Prayer as a reminder. And they're great to hand out. They're where you can give them away if that's what you want to do, to try to encourage someone in the ways of salvation or encourage someone in the ways of baptism. So little side note there, but we do. We have these if you'd like them. And we passed out several there. This year in Branson, we had about 15 new attendees. People that some were new to the ministry. Some had just heard us either on shortwave or on the internet, or had a friend introduce them. And others had been on the ministry for a few years, but had prayed about it and had finally been able to come to Branson. And we had some that were both new to the ministry and first time to Branson. And so what a joy it is to see that our efforts are, well, they're finding fertile ground. The seeds that we're planting, not just us here at the Radio Ranch, but the seeds that the remnant are planting all over, whether it's in Tennessee, whether it's in Texas, whether it's in California, Alaska, North Carolina, Virginia, all over, the seeds are being planted and the fruit is coming forth. And I say that to encourage each and every one of you to continue to do that. Be the Christian Johnny Appleseed, as you would, in your area, with the people that you meet. That is how Christianity grows and spreads. And take the opportunities that are afforded to you to share the gospel with the people that are around you, with the people that God puts in front of you. We are to do that. We are to do that. Part of that sanctification is being used for the intended purpose that it was created for. We were not created just to exist. We were created for a purpose. A cell phone is created for a purpose. A pen is created for a purpose. As God's children, as God's people, we were created for a purpose. And so when we will, and we have many words for it, when we answer the call, it doesn't mean you have to answer the call to attend seminary for years and be a preacher or be a pastor. But when we do answer the call that God and the Holy Spirit calls us with and calls us to, when we not only believe, but we are doers, when we are being used for our intended purpose, we are being sanctified. We are being set apart. That is what the definition means. It's a big old word, But that is what it means. And again, it's not something to look at in as proudful or arrogant. God guides us as we grow and mature in our Christian walk and in our life's experiences. That's a whole nother message, and I'm running out of time tonight. Not going to have time for the phone lines tonight, but have a few more notes to go over. But remember that this Christian walk is not all just a bed of roses without the thorns. We all have our trials and our tribulations, and you know, that was one theme that everyone that attended this year's Branson could share with one another were the roadblocks that people had that came up in trying, how the enemy tried to prevent people coming from Branson, from missed connections on airplanes, changed connections, vehicle problems, problems in the home, health issues, problems on the farm and on the ranch, and you name it. It came up somewhere. Work just exploding, where normally this time of year it's school is out, and so those involved on the education side, being teachers or administrators or maintenance with school, anything, there's a ton of things that this time of the year, just as school is winding down, usually it's kind of a time where people can take off and there's a transition time. Nope, not with our people. It was busier than all get out. And so sometimes we have to remember also that God allows these things to come up in our life to see if we're serious. To see if we're serious, not only serious about attending Branson, but serious about our Christian walk. Serious about are we gonna pay the price? Are we gonna pay the price of what it takes to be sanctified, to be true Christians, in not only in title, but in word and deed and lifestyle? And part of that sanctification is turning away from the world, certainly being different than how the world is. I got to speak to a young man that's interested in a young lady, and I explained that to him, that was part of this theme of sanctification. The world is out there fornicating and doing anything and everything they want to, with anything and everyone they want to. Let them. That's the way of the world. That is not our way. We are moving back into the kingdom. We are moving back into kingdom thinking, into holiness of life, into sanctification of life, being set apart, being used for our intended purpose. We were intended to be a holy and honorable people. Just because we are who we are does not make us holy or honorable. It is the choices we make, the decisions we make, the things we decide to do or not to do. And we are to be an honorable people. We are to be holy even as Christ Jesus is holy. And so we don't do the things the world does. We shun, we turn away from that. We've heard the definition of a Christian and the difference between a Christian and a sinner. And Jason brought it out, I think, either last night on the Wednesday night prayer meeting, or it might have been, I think it was during Branson. Maybe he had one of the closing messages. And that the difference between a Christian and a sinner, they might be, by all appearances, doing the same thing. We're involved in the same thing, but the Christian is turning away and running away from the sin, and the sinner is embracing it. And we do not embrace sin. We turn away from it. There is a cost. And that cost of sanctification, that cost, that restriction that we place upon ourselves, not that God puts upon us, it's up to us. You choose you this day. You get to choose. God's not going to make the choice for you. Christ isn't going to make the choice for you. He presents it to each and every one of us, and it is up to each and every one of us to make that choice to honor God, to honor parents, to honor Christ. And we honor the memory, of course, of our pastor and his desires for us when we stay the course. When we, as we talked about earlier, when we forgive because we've been forgiven. When we choose to serve the Lord instead of choosing to still be a slave to sin. Well, running out of time here. We recorded Branson. If the recordings were good, we get to break it up and get it down to CD. We'll see. We ask you to pray about that. If you didn't get to attend, even if you did, we had many asking for CDs and for messages, recordings of it before we left. People wanted to pass them out. We had one person said, "I want a dozen of this one. I want to pass it out." So. If you're interested in that, the first thing I'm going to ask you to do is pray. Pray that the recordings went well. Pray that we have the time and the ability to take those recordings and make CDs of them and make them available. And know that all of us here pray for all of you out there. We pray for those that are on the ministry. We do. We pray for those that get the DVD church that we mail out on Mondays. And sometimes there might be a problem with those. Well, pray for that. We pray for those that get those DVDs. And we pray for those that get the CDs, the live CDs, and the CD ministry, the messages that we send out. And we pray for those that support us. We acknowledge that. We'll send you a postcard and a letter. Acknowledging and thanking you and letting you know what's going on here. That is part of that being as part of the body, as being Christians. And I ask you, Remnant, pray for us here. Pray for us. Pray that we be encouraged. Pray that that the support continues to come in to allow the shortwaves and broadcasts such as these and Branson gatherings and things like that. We are to be a praying people, a Bible-reading, God-fearing, God and parent-honoring, Christian, praying for one another people. And some of us do the best that we can to do that. If you find yourself and you say, "Man, you know, I just haven't prayed enough in the past," pray more now. Well, hey, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us. Again, our address is Scriptures for America, Post Office Box 766, LaPorte, Colorado, 80535.